are fantastic. Listen, massive welcome to everyone that's here today. We're so thankful that you came. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit is here? He's not coming, he came. You know, every Easter, all I do is celebrate and remind myself of his death, that that was my death too. Of his resurrection, that I've been risen to newness of life too. But also of the Holy Spirit, that the one who was given is still here. Listen, massive welcome to everyone here watching and those watching online. I want to say a big welcome to some friends, Matt and Emily from Audacious Church in Manchester. Great to have you. They're on holiday and they said, we got to go to family church on our holiday. So glad that you did. You've had a busy few weeks, didn't Sean? Pastor Sean do an amazing job last week. Pray. Hello? Are you there, right? Okay. Didn't Pastor Sean do an amazing job last week? I listened to his message and I thought, wow, love what God's doing with Pastor Sean and Paula at this time. I've been on my travels. I was away in the last 10 days or so. I was in Harrogate, Manchester, Stoke-on-Trent, and Taunton. So all the fun places. Never forget church. We believe there's a call on our lives, on our church, to make a difference locally, nationally, and internationally. So when you see people coming and going like Pastor Stu's in one of the congregations today, we want to believe God that with the breath he's entrusted us with, we could have an impact for God in our city, in our nation, and in our world. And that's why sometimes people are traveling around a little bit. It's because we want to give to others what God has given to us. Amen. Well, brilliant. We're going to continue on with our series, which officially or technically is called Soteriology. If you're visiting with us, don't be afraid. All we're looking at is the study of salvation. That's what soteriology means. We've been on a journey as a church, and I've been so excited to see what God's been doing on that journey. We took the first part of the year to look at something called Christology, which is the study of Jesus. It's as simple as that, the study of who Jesus is. And we're coming to the end now of a series called Soteriology, which is the study of some of the incredible things that God did for us in saving us. We're going to have a break and we're going to go preaching crazy over the summer. You're looking forward to that? Because we've been teaching, but I've said, right, when we finish this series next week, we're going to go preachy crazy again and have an incredible summer. Then after the summer, we're coming back to study another ology called pneumatology, not numerology, pneumatology, which is simply the study of the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. But today, we're back on this journey, and if you've missed any of the elements, feel free to go to our social media, go to our websites, other platforms, they're all there. Also, if you want to take notes today, you don't need to, you just go to the Family Church app, and at the bottom of the app, there's message notes. And all the verses I'm using and some of the key thoughts are on those message notes today so that you can pay attention and not know that you didn't write down a verse that you should have. Is that good? So we've been looking at this great salvation, and I love that in Hebrews 2 verse 3. It says, how will we escape or survive if we neglect such a great salvation? We don't want to be a house that doesn't understand what salvation is. You know, one of my commitments coming into the year, I gathered the pastors together and I said, listen, guys, this year is about discipleship. This year isn't just about getting a few people in a classroom. We're going to take the whole church through four key ologies. And the heart is, listen, I want to see the lost reached, but I want to see the bride ready for when Christ returns. Amen. The end of the year, we're going to look at eschatology, which is the doctrine or the teaching of end times. We're going to begin to show you in the Word of God what we believe God is saying about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So stick around. It's going to be good, eh? It's worth sticking around for Matt. That'll be about November. Bit of a wait, but it'll be all right, okay? Now, we've taken this journey, and so far, we've looked at how we've been, not we're going to be. Remember, all of these things are things we're now living in the good of. Just like the giving of the Holy Spirit, he's not coming, he came. We live in the good of that. Jesus dying on the cross, we're not going to be saved, we've been saved. Now we live in the good of what we received as a gift from God. Everybody with me? Now, so far we've looked at how we have been in Christ forgiven, justified, just as if I'd never sinned, reconciled, redeemed, and sanctified. Today we want to look at one that's called regeneration. Regeneration. Now, whenever you look at the word regeneration, whenever you look at the word and there's that following, I forget what they call it in English, the word RE. What is it? Gina, you'd know. What is it when they put something in front of a word? A prefix, exactly. See, my wife is a genius. You know, I'm like, anytime I'm like, where do you put a comma? Where do you put a full stop? She is always there. If I didn't have Gina, I would be, life wouldn't be so fun. But also, anything that you read that I've written, it would be like a long sentence about everything. It would be like reading a dictionary. It's just like a long story about everything with no beginning or end. So it's a prefix. And whenever you see re, it means a redoing or to do again. To do again. So if I wrote a paper, I would have produced a paper. If that paper is rewritten, I produce it again. Okay? So it means again and again. So when we look at the subject of regeneration, what we're saying is we, just like justification, just like forgiveness, we have been regenerated. What does it mean? Another way of putting that is we have, if you've placed faith in Jesus, received newness of life. Newness of life. The moment you believed, you received a new life. Well, I don't feel like it. Nobody's asking you how you feel. We're telling you what the Bible declares God did in your life. By faith, you embrace it and then live in the good of it. Now, in saving us, God gave us newness of life. God did not patch us up. God did not patch up a sinful us. Rather, he caused a regeneration and renewal by his Spirit that gave every person who believes a brand new second birth and a brand new beginning. Isn't that wonderful? If man made a plan of salvation, it would involve rust removal, patching things up. God said, no, we're going to start again from a new beginning. When a person receives the salvation of God, they don't enter a patch-up mode. Even if they don't feel it, heaven declares in that moment, they've become a brand new person, just as if they've been born again. So when we look at the word regenerate, it's not a confusing word, but I look to a dictionary. I like the dictionary personally of Merriam-Webster because the person was a believer that wrote it and it just gives a great context. But when we look at the word regenerate in the dictionary, here's some of the meanings that it gives us. I think they'll come up on the screen. Number one, to generate or produce something new. Number two, spiritual. Oh, they're not coming up, so you'll have to listen to me, but they are on the notes. So the word regenerate means to generate or produce something new, spiritual renewal and revival, to change something radically for the better, and to restore something's original strength. And again, all of those definitions are on the message notes on the church app. A couple of them I really like is that to regenerate is to be changed radically for the better. Amen. Listen, if you heard my testimony, the testimony of Pastor Sean, the testimony of people that have been born again recently, you'd hear the story of God making something that was better and superior in a new beginning. Here's a key verse I want to include in what we're teaching today, and it's found in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. But when the goodness and the loving kindness, when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. You know that you've not been saved by what you've done, right? It's completely about the mercy and the grace of God. He saved us not because of works. Remember what we taught on justification. Not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Two key words in that passage of scripture are regeneration and renewal. Forgive bad pronunciation of Greek, but I'll give it a go. The first word, regeneration, is palingenesia. Palingenesia. Obviously, there's a link there to Genesis, beginnings, original design. Palingenesia. And it means new birth, reproduction, renewal, recreation, and total regeneration. That's the meaning of the word used for regeneration in the book of Titus. The second one is anakenosis. Akenesenosis. That's a miracle that even came out halfway. And that word means renewal, renovation, complete change for the better. So what it's saying to us in Titus is by the Holy Spirit, in saving us, God didn't patch us up, but he caused us to be washed and regenerated to a brand new start. Now, our regeneration came through something in Christianity we believe as called rebirth or being born again. Let me read the same passage of scripture from Titus 3, but this time from the NIV, the Northern Ireland version, for those that need a little bit of humour in the midst of the teaching. It's not really, it's a new inspired version, or an international version, sorry. And it says this, he saved us. You've got to understand you didn't save yourself. He saved us, not because of righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. And then it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal that comes by his Holy Spirit. Interesting. In the first translation, it used the word regeneration. In the NIV, it uses the word rebirth. Another word for regeneration is rebirth, and it relates to what we currently know, or we've always known as the biblical truth of a person being born again. Often when you tell someone you're a Christian, they'll go to you, are you one of those born again Christians? Well, the reality is there isn't another variety. Because if you've not been born of the Spirit, you're not God's. Because salvation comes through what the Holy Spirit does in causing an old life to be born anew. This all fits within the thought of what regeneration is. Our rebirth, or we could call it new birth, is different from our first birth when we were conceived physically and inherited a sin nature. So when we talk about second birth, we're obviously noting there can't be a second unless there's a first. You can't start with second, you've got to start with first and then go on to second, right? I can't teach you everything today, but if there's a second, it's because there was a first. You see, we were all born physically, naturally into this life. Give me a wave if you weren't. Okay, we all have that in common. Yet when it speaks of being born again, it's not speaking of our first birth experience. Remember, you had nothing to do with that. You were the consequence of the works of two others. In you being present, you did nothing. Now, you were born with a sin nature that gave you separation to the God who made you. God needed to provide a second birth, a spiritual birth, so you could be regenerated, made brand new, brought back to his original plan for you. Now, it's important that a person is born firstly, naturally, otherwise you don't need to be saved, but secondly, spiritually, so that any issue of sin between you and God is removed and you are a part of his family. Everybody with me? Now, our new birth is a spiritual birth, so you're not born again like you were born the first time. You're born again spiritually. You come alive spiritually to God. Now, we believe in our lives being triune in existence. We believe that a person is spiritual, they're physical, they're soulish, but God makes us alive in the body, in our soul, but also in our spirit. When a person's born again, it's the spiritual part of who they are, which is regenerated and comes alive to God again. Now, Man in his natural state is dead because of trespasses and sins, even though he's walking the earth with dead men walking. Now, you can read about that in Ephesians 2:1, but it says that while we were dead in our sins, Jesus Christ, he's died, he saved us, and he raised us to newness of life. Now, regeneration, or being born again, is a divine, that means it's a heavenly, a God-inspired radical change. Just as our physical birth resulted in a new person entering a human life experience, our spiritual birth results in a person entering a spiritual life experience. So when we look at first birth, thanks mum and dad, because of all you did, you brought me in to a human experience of life. But it's when we believe in Jesus Christ and his salvation, God causes us to be born again into a spiritually alive state of being. So that we're no longer dead people walking, but we're alive to God on the inside of who we are. Everybody with me? That's why after regeneration or being born again, suddenly it's like everything changes. Did you notice how things changed? When I was born again, suddenly I had a desire for God. It's because I'd been regenerated, made alive to God on the inside. Suddenly I read the Bible and it made sense. Come on, was this just me? I read that book before, didn't make no sense. It was like reading a phone book. All of a sudden, when I read the Bible, after I'd been regenerated, born again by God's Spirit, I read the book and it made sense. Suddenly there was a desire in me to not sin anymore, but to run after God. Suddenly there was a sound in me that said, "You're my Father in heaven." Suddenly there were things happening in me that I knew were not there before when I'd just been physically born. See, when a person's saved, the Holy Spirit causes their life to be regenerated, made new, born afresh, alive to God. Now, why is all this happening? A couple of reasons. Number one, Christ is being formed in your heart now, Galatians 4:19. You've become partakers of a divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. Because you are now a new creation or creature in Christ, which is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me go back over those. Before, Christ wasn't in you. When you're born again, Christ is born in you and then suddenly becomes formed in your life. Christ-likeness begins to break out. According to Peter, at the moment you are regenerated or born again, you become a sharer or a partaker in God's own life. Suddenly his life is flowing into that which was dead to him. And also, according to second, this is one of our fundamental beliefs in Family Church, a person becomes a new creation where old is gone and new has come. Now, regeneration or being born again, made alive to God by his Spirit, is necessary for a person to have a relationship with God and his kingdom. Sinful human flesh cannot stand in God's presence. It never could and it never will. In his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus said twice that a man must be born again in order to experience the kingdom. Now, as a people that would say we are born again Christians, what we're saying is we believe the moment we placed faith in Jesus, we were forgiven, we were justified, we were reconciled, we were redeemed, we were sanctified. So many things happened. But also what happened was God made someone who was alive physically but dead spiritually, alive spiritually to himself, forgiving all their sin so that we could be a part of his glorious family, experience his nature now in us, be freed from our past, because God declares, old has gone, new has come. We need to not try to make that happen, accept it as happened outside of our involvement, and then just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to live in the good of that. I'm going to live today like someone totally forgiven. Some of you are like constipated apple trees trying to become something or bear fruit of something that's already taken place. You get out of bed in the morning and you don't enjoy God. You get up and you go, oh, if I pray harder, he'll love you. He can't love you anymore. Oh, if I pray harder, he'll like me more. No, you can't be more righteous in his sight than what you already are, receiving the gift of righteousness that comes through faith. God wants us to be diligent followers and disciples, but not try to recreate something that has already taken place. You've heard me say this before. That's the same as a bald man shaving his head. You're spending a lot of energy to produce something that's already taken place. But I like shaving my head. Then shave your head. But don't try to produce boldness. That's already been provided for you. Don't get angry with me if you're follically challenged. I'm just using an example. All right? In the same way, he has justified us. So let's now live righteous lives because he's made us righteous. All right? He has sanctified us. He's brought us. Next week, I'm going to talk on how he's adopted us and brought us into his family. That's going to be our concluding part. But I want to look at this conversation that took place between Jesus and Nicodemus, because pretty much everything you need to know about regeneration or receiving a new life can be found in this conversation. Now, I'm going to read from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now, there was a Pharisee who was a religious leader of their time, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was high up in what he did. He came to Jesus at night because he was scared of what people would think if he came by day, but Jesus will take a backdoor knock on the door. He will. He's good. He came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see or experience the kingdom of God unless they are born again. What's the meaning of the word born again? Regenerated, made new by the Spirit. And he's saying this to a religious leader that was getting paid for being religious. He was saying, your system doesn't work anymore. You've got to receive a regeneration, the giving of a new life that comes through faith in him. And then he answers, how can someone be born again when they're old? He wasn't being sarcastic. He was earnestly wanting to know. Jesus had said to him, you've got to be born again. He's thinking, well, the first time I was born, I was a few pound. It's like my son is like, he's like 6'6", and I don't know what that kid weighs now. He's a meat boy. He's just like, would you want to birth him again, Gina? It was hard enough the first time because he was a chunky baby, wasn't he? And this is what Nicodemus is saying. He's like, you may convince me, but you'll never convince my mum. For a second birth to take place, that's just not physically possible. It wouldn't. It would kill someone giving birth to Ethan now. It would kill them. They would just not be in existence anymore. You've got to see a photo of my son to go, yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, Jesus was answering his confusion and saying, no, I'm not talking about a second natural birth. I'm talking about you receiving a second birth where the dead you on the inside comes alive to God and his kingdom. You see, that's why the moment after a person's born again, suddenly they love God like they didn't before. They understand God. They want God. The Bible makes sense. They pray and it feels real. Why? Because the dead part of who they were that was sentenced to death in Adam has suddenly received the breath of God. And they've become alive on the inside while remaining alive on the outside. Okay, let's carry on. Stop distracting me. Verse 4. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Here's a key point. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound and you cannot tell where it comes from, where it's going. So is everyone born of the Holy Spirit. To be born of the Holy Spirit isn't connecting anything to your first birth that involved your mum and dad. It's talking about a second birth where God causes you to be regenerated and come back to the fullness of life he had for you in the original design of Genesis. Okay? Everybody good? Here's a couple of things we need to underline from what Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. Number one, it is imperative. You must be born again. It's not optional. Many roads lead to God, Brother Andy. What a filthy lie. That's a disgusting lie. It's not true. One road leads to God, and it's, listen, I'm tired of being polite with the world. I'm just going to begin to say things as it is, right? All roads don't lead to God. There's one road that leads to God, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you don't place faith in Jesus Christ, you ain't going to heaven, and you ain't saved. No one can come to the Father but through him. It's imperative. You must be. There's no option given for a secondary experience. And then it says, born of water and born of spirit. That speaks of a second birth experience. Now, you've got to be born of water, which means you've got to be alive to be made alive again. All right? Second birth isn't for somebody that hasn't been born once. Now, when it speaks of being born of water and being born of spirit, it's saying, to receive salvation, you've got to be someone who experienced a first birth and came through the breaking of the water of the natural womb to bring you onto the planet so that you have a need of second birth. But if you're born once, you've still got problems. I'm going to say it again at the end, but it's good to hear it at this point. If you've been born once, you're going to die twice. If you've been born twice, you're only ever going to die once because death has been removed. Eternity starts in the heart of a person the moment they receive the salvation of God. That's a confidence, right? Now, this body won't keep up. The Bible says I've got a glorified one coming. Like I said before, when I was in my 20s, I was like, this one's not too bad. Now I'm coming up to my 60s. I'm like, come on, come on. Okay, some of you are happy with the one you got. I get that. All right. Now, you've got to be born of water and of spirit. That speaks of a second birth experience. Thirdly, it's a spiritual birth that gives birth to God breathing his life in you. Now, this takes us, again, back to original design in Genesis, where God formed man in his image out of the dust of the ground. In some ways, he'd been born naturally, but he was lifeless, all right? God made Adam out of the earth of the ground. From dust we came, from dust we will return. Speaks of a physical beginning. But when, I just imagine this moment when, like an action man, Adam is in the hand of God. He looks like he's alive, but he's not. Until the moment, read the book of Genesis, it says, and God breathed into his nostrils. And that which was made of earth opened its eyes and came alive. When we're born naturally, we're comparable to that which is fashioned of the dirt. Even though we have an experience of life. It's not an experience of life, it's an experience of existence. True life comes the moment you come to God and you say, save me through Jesus. And in that moment, God breathes his life into you. You wake up and come into the true life he intended for you to know. Well, I'm not sure if I'm a born again Christian. There's no other variety. You're either born of God because he's breathed his life into you and you've been regenerated, or you are carrying around an old body like a sack of potatoes, not going anywhere. Once again, this is a matter, and we've covered this a couple of times in this series, of understanding the two Adams, that the Bible reveals that there was a first Adam, and through the first Adam, man is born naturally but they're spiritually dead to God. Then the Bible speaks not of a second, but of a last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. That when a person receives Jesus, their life is born a second time. Their physical world doesn't change, but they come alive spiritually to God, back into the condition of a pre-fallen Adam who was alive in body, mind, and spirit. When I look back on the life I had before I was born again, it wasn't life, it was existence. It's when you're born again, a joy that you've never experienced comes on the inside. A hope that you've never known comes on the inside. Faith that you need to live comes on the inside. Why? Because you are now connected to His divine life. Give me a couple of minutes. When you were born naturally, you were born with an umbilical cord connected to you and your mum, right? That's how we all got here. And then a nice doctor, and you were enjoying it. You were living off the life of your mum. You were like, I need nothing. The juice is good. The food is good. This is all good here. Then all of a sudden, the doctor comes along, cuts it, and then spanks your bum and makes you go, ah, and you begin to breathe. That means you've been cut off from the umbilical cord of your parents' provision into your life. And now you've got to breathe for yourself. When a person's born again, they're reconnected with a divine umbilical cord to the very life of God, and His life begins to flow into them. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. When you're born again, when you're born a second time, God rejoins you to His life. It's good, right? But I'm going to go home happy. I'm preaching myself happy today. I'm going to go home and go, that was good, Andy. Yeah, I'm better for that. Come on, we're born again Christians. That's what we are. Now, this is how the Bible puts it in Corinthians. For as in Adam, all die. Oh, wait a moment. We're born naturally through Adam. No, we're born into the death that he provided in his disobedience. For as in Adam, the first, all die. So in Christ, who's the last Adam, all will be made alive. Well, I'm alive because I was born through my mum and dad. Now, that's the birth of Adam. But though you were born physically and mentally, you had a body and you had a soul. You've been walking dead to God. But if you'll receive Jesus Christ today as Lord and Savior, in the very moment you receive Him, the part of you that was dead, that couldn't connect with God, will be supernaturally, in one moment, awoken like you're coming out of a sleep and know a life you've never known. Come on, this is the message of the gospel. God's not patching anyone up. He's not putting a plaster on cancer. He's removing the cancer. He's not dealing with rust on an old MG or an old Rover motor. He's trading it in, taking it to the junkyard and giving you the keys of a brand new vehicle. He's saying, I'll give you a new life. If you come to Christ, old is gone, new has come. If anyone finds salvation through Christ, they are a new creation, born again, made brand new, alive on the inside to God, able to hear God, able to follow God, able to understand God, can lay aside things that they know shouldn't be in their life. Suddenly the ability of God is in your life. I think that's a good salvation. Okay, let's bring this in for a landing. When you were born again, you were reborn and made alive by God's Spirit from a spiritually dead state back to the original design life that God had for humanity to know from the beginning of creation. When you are alive physically, mentally, and now spiritually to Him. Regeneration happens at the moment of a person's salvation. They then learn how to live out of what's occurred. This is the message I'm preaching these days. It's not about what we become, it's what we became the moment we believed. The essence of everything we're teaching in this series is based on that concept. Because a lot of modern Christianity is no different to other false faiths, where they're doing, hopefully to achieve something at the end. Christianity flies in the face and says, the moment you're born again, you're going to receive everything you're ever going to receive and become everything you're ever going to become. And you spend the rest of your life working out what you've received and what you've become. God has already done it, my friend. He's already saved you. He's already made you right in His sight. God wants you to live in the good of what you became the moment you believed. So any becoming is only taking us to a moment of being what He caused us to be the moment we received His salvation. Regeneration is God making a person spiritually alive as a result of faith in Jesus Christ. The only means of regeneration is by faith in the finished work of Jesus and the cross. No amount of good works or keeping the law can regenerate the heart like the Spirit regenerates the heart the moment a person receives God's salvation. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said to a man called Nicodemus, if you want to experience God and His kingdom, you must be born again. You must be regenerated. You've got to allow God to get your created life and breathe His ruach, His pneuma, His life inside of you. I can remember when I got born again, it was like I opened my eyes and I was suddenly awoken. It was like I opened my eyes and it took me up to now to still try and work out what happened. But I know the moment I believed Jesus, something went inside of me and I went, oh my goodness, something just changed. I wish I'd had a family church around me to explain what happened. I kind of had to find out a lot of that for myself. We don't want you to find that out by yourself. We want to tell you what an incredible salvation God has given us through Christ, and then always be found giving an invitation for people to receive it as a gift. I made a statement just now, and I want to make it again as we close. This is our confidence in new birth. That if you've been born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, and you're going to experience spiritual second death. But if you've been born twice, as in you were born of water, thanks mum and dad, born of spirit, thanks God, even though you'll get a new garment or vehicle to use, a glorified body, you will never die again. You became eternal the moment He breathed His eternal life into you. Eternity doesn't start when you die and go to heaven. It started the moment He breathed His spirit into you and awoken you to a second birth experience. Has this been okay? We're going to look at how we've been adopted into His family next week. I'm around to preach that one too. Looking forward to that. But if you're here today and you've never been born again, I'm not asking, did you go to church? I'm not asking, do you call yourself a Christian because your mum and dad was a Christian? I'm not asking, do you think you're a Christian because you went to church? The reality is you could spend the night sleeping in McDonald's, you would not wake up a hamburger. It's just an environment. The only way for a person to be born again, saved in the sight of Almighty God, is to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and acknowledge He achieved everything that was needed. And the moment you place your faith in Him as Lord and Savior, He causes you to be born a second time, made alive on the inside to God. If you've never done that, we invite you to do it today. I'm not asking, did you go to church? I'm not asking, you know, is your mum and dad a Christian? None of that stuff can save you. Faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone is what saves you. Can we pray this prayer together, church, as we close this morning? Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sin and give me the gift of new life. I believe you died for me, Jesus, that your death became my life. I receive your salvation. Breathe within me and let that which was dead come alive. Amen. Just my every eyes closed, every head's bowed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, you've never received his salvation, you've never been born of the Spirit, if you're watching at home, online, this includes you as well. God's omnipresent. He's equally powerful every place in any moment. You can respond at home as much as the people here can respond. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never been born again, regenerated by his Spirit, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to give you the opportunity to lift your hand so you can leave this room knowing that that has taken place. One, it's your decision. No one's going to force you. It's not a question of why wouldn't you, it's why wouldn't you. Two, three, lift your hands if that's you. Nice and high, nice and high. Get those hands up. Do it like you mean it. God bless you. I see two hands there. I see a third hand there. I see a fourth hand there. Anybody else, a fifth person, get your hand up. If you want to be born again, lift your hand and say, I'm receiving everything God's doing. I see that hand at the back. That's number five. Is there a sixth person? Come on, get your hand in the air. Wave your hand in the air just like you just don't care, as it says. Right now, number six. There's number seven. There's some young hands at the back there. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is people receiving God's salvation, receiving his gift of life. Father, I pray for each of those that have lifted their hands that they would know your Spirit right now breathing in to their life and the experience of coming alive in the Holy Ghost. I pray for them, Father. Fill them, fill them, fill them. Let everything change today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you lifted your hand, come on, let's give them a big round of applause. Come on! If you lifted your hand...